Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
From the sports book to the gridiron, we've got you covered on 1300 The Bet.
Your edge over the sports books.
Baltimore's home for wagertainment. Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
See, Laura is currying favor with me. Even though we're not talking soccer right now, I do love the choice of Wonderwall by Oasis. This segment sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. I was seeing on social media that there is a portion of people that like don't think Wonderwall is a good song. Like, isn't Wonderwall, to the crew, isn't Wonderwall like an objectively great song? Like, who thinks it's not good? It's awesome. Champagne Supernova is really good, too. Oasis is a great band. Don't Look Back in Anger is great. Mike Brown says it's overplayed. Like, yes, as many great songs are. Doesn't mean it's not a great song. Love Wonderwall. I hope to sing it after England beat Argentina on Wednesday and win me a bunch of money with our friends at BetMGM, where England are minus 125 to qualify for the final. So I hope to sing Wonderwall. Hope we get a Jude Bellingham goal. Nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. Hey, Jude. So we'll be singing, hopefully, on Wednesday. And then France brings it home on Sunday. I hope in the World Cup final. Allez, les Bleus. More soccer coming up tomorrow on You Better You Bet. For right now, let's talk about LeBron James. It is July 13th, and LeBron James is on vacation. God bless him. Matt Moore on the show with us last hour. And Matt, and you know this if you've listened to the show or watched the show for any period of time, because Matt comes on all the time. Matt is significantly plugged in when it comes to the NBA. And Matt said, and he's not reporting it, nothing's 100%, but Matt said that he believes LeBron to the Cavs is a done deal. And if he didn't say that verbatim, that was essentially what he said. And that mirrors what a lot of people have said. And I saw on social media while I was on vacation, Bill Simmons of The Ringer, who's obviously really plugged in as well, saying that it's basically a done deal. LeBron's been using the Warriors as leverage. The Warriors, it should go noted, yesterday hired Frank Vogel to be an assistant for Steve Kerr. Vogel obviously coached the Lakers in the bubble when the Lakers won their only championship with LeBron. Steph Curry, publicly recruiting LeBron, Draymond Green doing anything in his power, trying to avoid getting the crap kicked out of him by Udonis Haslam. But also, if you haven't seen that, please look that up on the internet. That's a pretty delicious story. Draymond's doing everything he can, reportedly, to get LeBron to Golden State. But it feels like LeBron's going back to Cleveland, which would be awesome. And I say that even as a Knicks fan, where, LeBron obviously makes the Cavs a lot better. If and when it happens, and it feels like at this point now, we are more at the when stage than the if stage, while acknowledging crazy things happen all the time. No one thought he was signing with Miami in 2010. No one even really expected him to go back to Cleveland when it happened. But let's just speak about this as if it's going to happen, while acknowledging it might not. And LeBron signs with the Cavs and finishes his career where it started, where he grew up. Two things need to happen. The first, And I know Matt said, like, James Harden's not going to come off the bench and Harden's going to start. And it's going to be Harden, LeBron, Mitchell, and then the two bigs, Mobley and Allen. I don't like a Cleveland Cavaliers team where at the end of big games, and this is less a regular season thing than it is a postseason thing, right? Because if James Harden's doing the James Harden thing, like James Harden saying he is the system, like the Cavs are going to win a lot of regular season games. Like they are. Like they're too talented. Like they're going to go to the playoffs. This is a playoff conversation. That when you get to the ends of these playoff games, and think about the series against the Knicks, and I even said this more as a hypothetical. I'll say it again now. Now, we have the benefit of hindsight now. The Knicks beat the Spurs. They won the NBA championship. So I think it's safe to say the Knicks would have won the series no matter what. But the Knicks, you know, obviously I was at the game one with the huge comeback, and then they smoked the Cavs games 2, 3, and 4. What if you took James Harden off the Cavs and you put LeBron James on the Cavs for that series? So LeBron is basically handling the ball instead of Harden in these big spots. How does the series go? I think the Knicks still win, but it's the Cavs don't get swept. And I think the series is way closer if LeBron replaces Harden. So if LeBron signs with Cleveland, if you told me, I don't care about a Tuesday night in November against the Charlotte Hornets. I don't care about a Thursday night in February against the Boston Celtics. I care about May against the New York Knicks or against the Philadelphia 76ers. Who has the ball in his hands at the end of the game making decisions for the Cavs? It has to be LeBron James. Absolutely has to be. Cannot be James Harden. Because if it's Harden, they're going to lose. You're going to lose if it's James Harden. How do we know that? Here's 20 years that says it. 20 years of past results that say it. I want to know if it's LeBron, that LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands at the ends of these games. That's the first thing, if LeBron signs with Cleveland. The second thing, who's coaching the Cavs after they fire Kenny Atkinson? If you think that Kenny Atkinson is making it through the season coaching this Cavs team, if they sign LeBron James, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. There's no way. There's no way. Kenny Atkinson embarrassed himself in the Eastern Conference Final. Embarrassed himself, right? How about in the opening series? It went 7 against Toronto, and then if Detroit had been more ready for primetime, they would have lost to Detroit. Because not only did the Cavs get their lunch handed to them by Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, but Kenny Atkinson had the gall to say that, like, actually analytics say that we're winning this series. Like, could you imagine? You're not calling timeouts as the Knicks came back in game one. Like, it was brutal. You think LeBron James in his final season is going to be cool with all of this? Like, LeBron is going to be cool with, yeah, actually, you know, we got swept, but we were better. You think LeBron's going to be cool with that? Like, stop it. Like, come on. Really? So Kenny Atkinson can start the year for the Cavs as the coach. Who's going to be the Cavs coach after they fire him? Those two questions I want answered. If and when the Cavs sign LeBron James. Who's handling the ball late in playoff games and making the biggest decisions? Needs to be LeBron. And who's going to coach the team after they fire Kenny Atkinson? You better you bet on this Monday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports. Let's work some National Football League into the show. A couple weeks away from training camps, and this week we'll do some college football on the show as well, because I'm starting to get really fired up for college football. Spent some time at the beach yesterday thinking about, as one does, Texas with Sark and Arch, Cam Coleman, thinking about LSU and Lane Kiffin, and thinking about CJ Carr and Notre Dame. Is Notre Dame the best team this year in college football? You know they're going to the playoff. It's basically written in the bylaws now. Notre Dame has to be in the playoff. So we'll do some college football later this week on the show. I'm really excited for that. But a lot of props go to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. And just so people know how the content game works, It is not an accident that to start All-Star Week in Major League Baseball, when, aside from the World Cup, like, ain't nothing going on, that Monday morning to start this week in sports, ESPN releases top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Courtesy of Jeremy Fowler, does a great job with the series every year. This is the seventh year, I think, that he's done it. And it is not, like, his opinion, his top 10 quarterbacks, but he polls anonymously a list of 70 coaches, executives, and scouts. Now, I have no idea. It could be one coach, one executive, and 68 scouts. I have no idea. No idea how it goes. But we have the list, courtesy of ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. And I think that people will have issues with it, because of course people will, right? And I don't even mean that as a bad thing. So here is the top 10. Josh Allen's number one. Patrick Mahomes, number two. Reigning MVP, Matthew Stafford, is third. Joe Burrow, fourth. Lamar Jackson, fifth. Dak Prescott, sixth. Justin Herbert, seven. Drake May, we love the Drake. Drake May, eight. Jared Goff, nine. And Caleb Williams is 10. Just missing the cut, Sam Darnold. Jaden Daniels. Jordan Love. Brock Purdy. Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts. I have a couple small beefs with this list, and one big one. I understand why Jaden Daniels isn't on the list, and Jalen Hurts is not on the list. I get it, after the way last season went. You know, the Hurts-Eagle stuff is a debacle, to the point that they trade A.J. Brown, fire the offensive coordinator. The offense was terrible, and I have said, and I think it's true, that this could be Jalen Hurts' last year in Philadelphia. I think he's going to be awesome. But I'm acknowledging reality. That if Jalen Hurts does not have a good season in Philadelphia this year, this could very well be his final season as an Eagle. I think that is very much in the realm of possibility. Jaden Daniels, in his rookie year, was a top five quarterback in the league. And I get it. Last season was a train wreck for the Commanders. And Jaden Daniels was hurt for a lot of it. So I get Daniels and Hurts not being in the top 10. My strong sense is that this time next year, when Jeremy Fowler drops the top 10, both those names will be back on it. In Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts. Now, this isn't me being like, well, you know, Jared Goff sucks. He shouldn't be on it. I don't think he should be in the top 10, but I understand. And Caleb Williams was good enough last year to merit this. Drake May almost won MVP. I'm a bigger Dak Prescott fan than most. I think most of the list is fine. One small quibble. I don't think Matthew Stafford should be above Joe Burrow. And if you asked Sean McVay, who, and this is not like 5 years from now when Stafford's retired, if you asked Sean McVay who he would rather have this season, just for this year, Stafford or Burrow, who do you think he'd take? So Burrow's better than Stafford. I don't think there's any question about that. My big beef with this list is that Patrick Mahomes is not number one. Now, I have to be real, right? Because in one breath, I just told you, I get why Daniels and Hurts aren't on the list because of the way, in the top 10 because of the way last year went. So I also have to then acknowledge, I understand why Mahomes does not occupy the top slot. Like, I see the rationale being, well, Allen went to the divisional rounds, the Chiefs missed the playoffs, and Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL towards the end of the year, and I think he's playing week one, Monday Night Football at home against Denver, but we'll see, right? He's coming off a serious injury. So I understand it, right? But I strongly disagree with it. And this goes back to something we talk about a lot on the show, and something we talked about with Jaylen Brown in the last segment, right? Where you are asked sometimes as a sports fan, and I'm talking to you, the person watching and listening, directly to you right now. You love sports. You love the National Football League, right? You love it. It's everybody's favorite, including mine. Do you believe, sincerely, I'm talking to you, do you believe in your heart of hearts that Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes? Do you believe that? I'll ask the question a different way. Now, hopefully this never happens, because this is the kind of stuff that, like, horror movies are made of. If your life was on the line and you needed one quarterback to win the game for you at the end, and I gave you Patrick Mahomes on one side and Josh Allen on the other, who are you taking? Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Can you? Can you be honest? Even if you hate the Chiefs, even if you hate Patrick Mahomes, in the same way that you hated Tom Brady and you hated the New England Patriots, right? I get it. You hate the Chiefs. I get it. You're tired of Kansas City. I get it. You reveled in the Chiefs' misery last year. I understand. It all makes sense. But you can't say that Mahomes is not the best, even with the way last year went. Because, and I understand, because your counter to this will be, well, Allen made the playoffs. And you're right. Mahomes has also won 3 Super Bowls and been to 5. Okay? Meanwhile, Josh Allen can't get past Championship Sunday. And lost last year in the divisional round in a game that it is. Like we're now, what, 6 months removed from that game? How inexcusable is it that the Bills lost that game in Denver? How ridiculous is it that Buffalo lost that game on the road in Denver? And Josh Allen fumbling the game away. Seriously. How many times do we have to, I joked, and they had to fire Sean McDermott, because it's gotten to the point now that when the Bills lose in the playoffs, it's like the English patient. Here's 2 hours and 40 minutes of Buffalo playoff failures led by Josh Allen. And none of this doesn't mean that Josh Allen's not great. I think he's number two. So he's magnificent. He's great. But he's not better than Pat. He's not. Rashee Rice said it best, and Rashee Rice doesn't say a lot of good things or make a lot of good decisions. But after the Chiefs, you know, one of the times that Kansas City beat Buffalo in the playoffs, 4-0, Chiefs, Mahomes head-to-head v. Josh Allen in the playoffs. Like, great, Josh Allen beats him in October and November. Swell. What happens in January? When the Chiefs went into Buffalo, the one time Buffalo hosted the game in the divisional round and beat them, do you remember what Rashee Rice said when he was asked about it? The difference between the two quarterbacks. And Rashee Rice like kind of laughs and goes, Pat's better than Josh. Like, what do you want to say? What do you want me to say? He's right. He's right. Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. And that's not an insult to Josh Allen. It's like in the same way, like, is it an insult to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander if you say Jokic is better than him? No. Jokic is legendary. Josh Allen is going to the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. Even if he never wins a Super Bowl, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's been great. He's a Hall of Fame caliber player. Not saying he stinks. He's not Mahomes. And I'll ask the question again. If you could only pick one, who are you taking? If you're down by 4 in a playoff game with 2 minutes to play, which quarterback would you rather have slinging the football, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen? If you're being honest, the answer to that question is Patrick Mahomes. If you're being honest. You don't have to be if you don't want to, but I will be. And I feel very strongly that Jalen Hurts will be back on this list at the end of the year. And just one note on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. You remember when we had Dan Quinn on the show, about 3 weeks ago, right? We had Commanders head coach Dan Quinn on the show. And I asked him, and I knew he wasn't going to answer the question, and we had like a good laugh about it. I think, Bill, what was the line that he said? Like, he appreciated my effort or something, appreciated the question. When I asked him about Brandon Ayuk, and, you know, he said I was competing, which was a great line. And kind of like, hey, you know, the skill positions seem a little shallow. And he's like, well, let me tell you about the offensive line. He knows. So outside of Terry McLaurin right now, the Commander's wide receiving group, and this matters for Jaden Daniels this year, and it matters for fantasy football as well. The Commanders' wide receiving group behind Terry McLaurin is Treylon Burks, one-time, you know, draft bust of the Tennessee Titans, and maybe he can resuscitate his career to some degree. rookie Antonio Williams, who seems like he's a slot-only player, Jalen Lane, Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown. Like, this is, no one's looking at this and seeing Art Monk anywhere on this team, or Gary Clark anywhere on this team, right? The Commanders desperately need a second option in the passing game, and maybe you want to say it's Chigakonkwo, the tight end they signed away from Tennessee. Maybe you'd like a number two receiver, right? We all kind of thought it's going to be Brandon Ayuk. The problem, as I've said on this show, is that Brandon Ayuk is crazy. And he's not crazy in the way that you meet someone who's like a little off and you'd be like, ah, that dude's crazy. No. Brandon Ayuk is the type of crazy person that you meet and you think, wow, like that. Now I know what crazy actually is. He's got a screw loose. And like, honestly, like, I kind of think I don't know him or anything. Kind of seems like he needs to talk to someone, right? I'm not trying to be rude or mean. He's crazy, right? Feuding with Jaden Daniels. Like, it's what's happening is banana land with Brandon Ayuk. So let's say the Niners cut him today. Let's say that happens. Do you think the Commanders should sign him? Is anyone going to sign him? So we have basically all thought this entire offseason, right? I thought it. Brandon Ayuk's going to be a Commander. He's going to play with Jaden Daniels again, and he'll solve their number two receiver problem. I don't think that's happening now. So now what happens if you're Washington? You sign Stephon Diggs. They should have done it yesterday. Stephon Diggs publicly said this weekend he's the best number two receiver in the league. Whether or not that's true or not, like, he is still a good receiver. And even if he's kind of crazy also, he's not crazy in the way Brandon Ayuk's crazy. The Commanders have to sign Stephon Diggs, and really, they should do it today. Bill Zimmerman is here, our executive producer, with the trivia question of the day after 2 weeks off. Bill, do you do trivia when I'm not here?
No, we don't do trivia without you, Nick. We like showcasing you with your trivia talent.
Okay. There are a lot of ways I could go with that. I will take none of them. What is the trivia question today, Bill?
How about we try a little home run derby trivia? How are you up on your home run derby? It's not that difficult.
I'll try my best. I have to be honest. Like, I don't really care about the event. I'm being honest, but I will try and answer it.
All right. Well, we'll start with a one that I think you'll get. It's pretty easy. Who has won the most career home run derbies?
Griffey, right?
Ken Griffey Jr. And I'll give you a bonus one. Can you name who hit the most home runs in one single home run derby? I'll give you a hint. It was 91 in one derby.
Yeah, and he didn't win the derby.
That is true.
And it was at Yankee Stadium. This is where you say yes.
I believe so, but I don't remember
and
exactly.
And it's Josh Hamilton.
It is not Josh Hamilton.
It isn't.
But this player did not win the Derby either. He lost it to Pete Alonso, if that helps.
So this is recently? Oh man.
Yeah, 2019.
What team?
Blue Jays. That gives it away.
Vlad?
Yes. Vlad Jr. 91 in one.
Can I ask you a trivia question?
If it's about the home run derby, I won't get it. But
if Ben Rice wins the home run derby tonight, he will become the fourth Yankee to win. Name the other three.
Stanton won one. I'm not sure.
Judge.
Judge did win one. Okay, I wasn't sure if Judge.
Do not type in the chat if you know the answer, guys. I think I have the third, but I actually might be wrong. I believe it was Il Colmo Duce, Bobby Abreu is sweet as candy. Is that
really?
I think it's Bobby Abreu.
Did Giambi ever win one?
Oh, Abreu was on the Phillies when he won. Is Tyler right about that? Damn it. I loved Abreu on the Yankees. Anyway, we desperately have to take a break. So we'll answer that question on the other side, the question that I asked, and give you our bets for the Home Run Derby right after this.
The NFL's offseason isn't over yet. Von Miller, Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, still available, still dangerous. Will they land with a contender before training camp? Westwood One Sports.
Whoa. I love a girl's weekend, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin. Thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
You can usually find me in the kitchen, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm still in the mix with Skyrizi to treat my joint symptoms.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin when measured from head to toe at 4 months.
Or if you're an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Drip Drop is a doctor-developed, proven fast hydration that helps your body and mind work better. Trusted by firefighters, medical professionals, and over 90% of top college and pro sports teams, Drip Drop is engineered to hydrate faster and more effectively than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, stock up now at DripDrop.com and use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off your first order. That's DripDrop.com, promo code RADIO20 for 20% off your first order. Head to DripDrop.com now and use promo code RADIO20.
Western One Sports presents this World Soccer Update. The 4 World Cup semifinal teams are among the 8 that have won it previously. Argentina's win 4 years ago was its 3rd, having won previously in 1978 and 86. France in 2018 added to its win from 20 years earlier as the host nation beat Brazil that year in the final 3-0. Zinedine Zidane made a name for himself that year, scored twice in the final. Spain won the 2010 World Cup and South Africa won all 4 of its knockout round games by the same score, 1-0, and in all 4 the goals were scored after halftime. David Villa scored the goals in the first 2 wins, and in the final against the Netherlands, it was Andres Iniesta in extra time. England won the 1966 World Cup in England, beat West Germany in the final 4-2. Jeff Hurst had the first ever hat trick in a World Cup final. With this World Soccer Update, John Stashower, Westwood One Sports.
New My Lowe's Pro Rewards American Express card. Earn 3 points per dollar spent on Lowe's qualifying purchases for the first 6 months after card account opening. Plus, save 5% every day on eligible purchases at Lowe's and earn points on eligible purchases everywhere else Amex is accepted. Card members get more at Lowe's. Subject to credit approval. 5% can't be combined with any other offer. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Points subject to loyalty terms at Lowe's.com/terms and credit reward terms at Synchrony.com/MLPRA-terms. Visit Lowe's.com/business credit.
When the moments in your life are too important to miss, you can trust O'Reilly Auto Parts to keep you and your plans on the road. Our professional parts people can test your vehicle's battery and even give it a charge if needed. In most cases, we can install your new battery for free. It's just one of the many services we provide at O'Reilly Auto Parts to ensure life's best moments don't find you stranded.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.